Good morning. Let's stand and sing this morning and worship our God today. So glad you decided to join us at Noble Assembly of God. We welcome you.
Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Give the Lord our praise this morning, Lord. We just praise you. We thank you, God, for all that you're doing in and through us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this service today. Would you just lift up your voices with me today as we just celebrate what God is doing in this place, Lord? We ask right now that your hand would be upon everything that happens here. Lord, we pray right now that you would just begin to saturate this place with your presence. Lord, we pray you would begin to meet needs right now, even before they're spoken. Lord, you begin to just comfort hearts even as we stand here. Lord, that you begin to create healing in those who need healing today. Freedom for those who need freedom today. Lord, we ask right now that you would just continue to move amongst your people. Lord, as the song said, Lord, unstoppable God, you shall move on. You may go on and on and on in our lives. Lord, your word says you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we stand in that truth and in faith in you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated.
I need somebody to show me. You're pushing all the buttons that men want to hear their dad say. All of us have a fatherhood story.
My dad was my hero growing up.
A father was somebody who disappointed you.
To have my father proud was my sole purpose of playing football.
I want to make a difference in the lives of young people the way my father made a difference in my life.
We put a representation of our father in all of our movies.
I prayed for me and my brother and my mom to get through this night.
I think we lived in 7 different houses, kind of running from my dad.
I started losing my ability to walk.
We didn't realize the war that was going on inside of him.
Wishing that I could just die.
Lord, why didn't you give me a dad I could call? Because I need wisdom right now.
I knew that I wasn't prepared to be anybody's mom. I was doing the right thing for him.
And I panicked. And Sherman says, man, listen, calm down. It is a beautiful thing to have a child.
This is why I do what I do. For guys like that.
I mean, it was like the hair on the back of my neck is standing up.
She said, I can tell that you already love her. And I did.
I would get asked about family history. I didn't have any answers because I didn't know.
Did you have a baby in 1972 in Allegheny County?
She says back, yes, as is her.
I'm stunned. He's real. He's really out there. And this is really him. This is really him.
In the Bible, the blessing was everything.
I declare that you are a beloved son in whom we all well please.
You're pushing all the buttons that men want to hear their dad say.
It's the first time I had been called out like that. He was that first man that paid attention to me. He was treating me like a dad would.
Your perfect father in heaven can change the trajectory of your life.
It's like the light came through. And I wept till I couldn't weep anymore.
You are unconditionally loved.
Haven't I been a good father? I need somebody to show me.
I am pumped about our first Connect Group experience tonight. We're going to be at the Moore Warren Theater watching Show Me the Father. And the movie starts at 4:30. Many of you have already bought tickets, but if you would still like to go, we have tickets available. And you can catch me after service this morning in the foyer. Tickets are $10, and you'll pay me this before you leave today. And then tonight, I would recommend that you be, or this afternoon, I recommend you be at the Moore Warren by 4 o'clock, okay? 4 o'clock to get your ticket. Maybe you want some popcorn. Come on now. Come on. How many of you love some popcorn? There you go. And, you know, one of them, those, the only place that you can get a Coke that's like in a backpack is at the movie theater, right? You know, they get a Coke that's about that big. And I was like, you need 2 straws? I'm like, no, I just need 1, just for me. And so, but we'd love for you to be a part of that. So you'll pay for your ticket before you leave today. And then I will meet you in the foyer there at 4 o'clock. And the movie starts at 4:30. It's going to be a tremendous story. Tremendous. The Kendrick brothers do a tremendous job on their movies. And I know it's going to be moving tonight. So I would recommend that you bring a tissue or two. And I know that it's going to minister to you. And I'm excited. I'm excited we all get to see it together. So just catch me afterwards, and I'll get you a ticket, and we'll all go watch the movie together. It's going to be great. Also, want to welcome those of you who are visiting today. If you're a visitor, there's a card in the seat back in front of you. And if you'd fill that out and put it in the offering bag that's going to pass in just a little bit here, that'll give us a record of your attendance. That'll help us out. And so if you just grab that, like I said, it's in the seat back in front of you. And we're gonna be blessed by knowing that you came to be with us today. We've got a few more announcements. First of all, how many have been following our progress on the Tractor for Trent project? Come on. And we've been working towards $30,000. Your bulletin says, this is the second week in a row I get to make a cool announcement. Your bulletin says that we have 20,780, but we had an additional 5,000 that came in. So we're almost at $26,000. Come on. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Come on. And so we're in the home stretch, be able to help our missionary Trent Morrow get this tractor that they desperately need on the mission field. And we know the Lord's going to provide the rest. And we're going to give him all the honor and the glory and the praise for that. The next couple of weeks, here's our missions convention. And so you see all the missionaries that are there. My friends, Jordan and Shay Campbell, who are going to be missionaries to Germany, will be here next Sunday morning. You're not going to want to miss that. They're a tremendous couple. And I know you're going to be blessed by their ministry, and so want to make sure that you're here the next couple weeks as we really emphasize what is really the heartbeat of our church, which is missions. We are one of the biggest missions-giving churches in Oklahoma for the Assemblies of God. We don't say that with pride, but we say that with respect and honor through what the Lord has done through Noble Assembly, and that's all of you. And so we give him the honor and the glory and the praise for that, and don't want you to miss that. And then it's just 2 weeks from yesterday, two Saturdays from now, is the Franklin Graham God Loves You Tour, and we're expecting a tremendous turnout for that, and the van will be leaving here at 5:15 on that day if you need a ride. Otherwise, you can drive yourself down there if you'd like. It'll be on the Oklahoma State Capitol South Lawn, and let me just say this, as you're fasting and praying, I want to challenge you to make that an emphasis of prayer, this tour that's coming through our city, that people would come to know Jesus, their personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. 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 Man, we are just so blessed, so blessed. And as the worship team comes, they're going to lead us in worship as the offering is received in just a moment. But I want to pray over the tithe and offering. So, Lord, we thank you once again for all that you've given us, all that you've blessed us with, and all that you continue to give through us. And Lord, I pray right now that you would just continue to multiply all that's given. And Lord, may your blessings pour out upon us as missions are given, as people come to know you. And Lord, may we lift up our voices in Jesus' name. Amen.
Days may be darkest, but your light is greater. You light our way, God, you light our way. When evil is rising, you're rising higher with power to save, with power to save. You keep hope alive. You hope alive from the beginning to end. Your word never fails. You keep hope alive because you are alive. Jesus, you are alive. Death had a stronghold, but your life was stronger. Rose from the grave, rose up from the breathing there.
worship you, Jesus. Death had its stronghold, but your power is greater. Your power is greater, God. We worship you, Jesus. We thank you, God. We worship your name, Jesus. God, you are our champion, Lord Jesus. Your power was greater than the enemy. You know, the enemy is rising, isn't he? He's trying to rear his head at us, and we just have to say, devil, you belong under our feet. And we just have to worship God and just claim our victory and say, God, you are my champion, and the enemy has no place in my life. He has no stronghold on me. He cannot have a grip on me because I belong to you, Jesus. You are my God, and I am your child, and I will stand in victory. Even when I'm in a battle, I am standing in victory because he gives it to me. Hallelujah, God. We worship you today, Jesus. We glorify your name, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. I've tried so hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it. You choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. Give what we don't deserve, and you take the broken things and raise them to glory. You are champion, giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered.
Jesus has given me.
every battle you've won. I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated. And the power of your name, I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated. By the power of your name, I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated, with the one who has conquered it all. Jesus, you're the one. Jesus, you're the one who's conquered it all, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord.
We need to lift our voices. We need to lift our voices and shout to God, because he is the one who defeated it all. We need to give him praise, and we need to thank him for all that he's done for us. God, we praise your name, Jesus. We love you, God. Oh, we worship you, God.
Thank you. Oh, I'm never running out of ways, never running out of ways to praise you.
Oh, we praise you, Jesus.
I'm never running out of words, I'm never running out of words to thank you.
Just tell me you want him today.
I want you more, more, more. I want you more. More, more, I want you more, 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 I want you more.
One more time.
Oh, I want you more, more.
never running out of words, never running out of words to thank you. Jesus, I'm never running out of ways, never running out of ways to praise you. Never running out of words, never running out of words to praise you. Jesus, I'm never running out of ways, never running out of ways to praise you. I'm never running out of words, never running out of words to thank you.
He's God, praise God. You need him more. Let's just tell him that right now. Lord, we need you more. We need you more. Lord God, we need you so much more. More than we realize, God. Father God, we just pray that you meet every need today. Oh, Father God, we praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I have 14 individuals that need a touch from the Lord. I'm going to mention their names. Rhoda McCarty is in the hospital. She needs the Lord's touch. Ansel Munden's in the rehab. He needs the Lord's touch. And David and Linda Harrison have a friend named Wanda who's very critical with COVID. We want to pray for her. Sister Gherkin needs the Lord's strength. Sharon Graham, son and daughter-in-law, Jim and Christy. Continue to pray for them. Elaine Smith, continue to lift her up. Shirley Grindstaff needs a healing and a touch this morning. Cameron Smith, still believing for complete healing in his body. Jack Freeman's sister Joyce needs a touch from the Lord. Amy Dalrymple needs a touch. Y'all remember the commercial on TV, Jude and Jody Furniture? Jude Northcutt had a stroke. Not doing very well, so we're going to pray for Jude Northcutt. Tony Keller needs a touch in his body this morning. Glenda Humphleet had a friend. Her husband passed away. Dick Hendricks was his name. We want to pray for the Hendricks family. Then Charles Guess's sister is very sick with cancer. I believe this morning that the Lord is able to touch and meet these needs. Amen. I believe the Lord is able to touch our country. Can we pray together? Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up all 14 of these needs plus our country this morning. God, we just pray that you would touch them each one, that you would bring help and bring healing. Father God, we just lift them up to you. We lift them up to you, Rhoda and Ansel, Wanda, Sister Gherkin, Jim and Christy, Elaine, Shirley, Cameron, Joyce, Amy, Jude, Tony, the Hendricks family, Charles' sister. We just lift these needs to you today right now. And I know for all 14, there's many others that are on the hearts of people here today. And Lord, we just pray that you touch each one. Lord, touch our country today. Touch our country. Lord, touch our president. Touch our leaders. Touch our governor. Father God, we need a healing. We need a revival. We pray for this Billy Graham crusade, our Franklin Graham crusade. We pray, God, that you would just touch and let lives be touched and changed, saved, healed, given hope and help. Father God, we just pray your blessing on this service this morning. As the word is preached, I pray, Lord, that hearts are moved upon by the Holy Spirit. As we receive communion together at the end of the service, I pray, Lord, that we are reminded of the great price that you paid, Jesus, for our salvation as we honor you by coming to the table. Lord, let your will be done today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise before you. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. This will be the last time we read this verse in our series as we are concluding our series on life lessons. This is the sixth message of the series, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offerings gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. Father God, bless the message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We come to the last sermon in the series today. Thus far, we've looked at 21 people from the pages of Scripture going down the alphabet. 21 people who, though they are long dead, still speak to us important life lessons. Most of the lessons have been positive, but some are negative. But how many of you know we learn from both, positive and negative? We've looked at people whose names begin with A through U, and today we will look at people with names or titles that begin with V, W, X, Y, and Z. Are you ready? Are you ready? Hey, there we go. That's better. Some of you didn't hear me the first time. That's why you didn't say something. Yeah, I got it. V. Vashti. V-A-S-H-T-I. Does anybody know what book of the Bible Vashti is found in? Esther, you are exactly right. So turn with me to the book of Esther, chapter number 1. We're going to begin reading at verse 10. Read verse 10, 11, and 12. You see, Vashti, I don't know exactly which way it's pronounced, is the queen of Persia. She is the wife of King Xerxes, and she was commanded by her husband, the king, to do something that she didn't want to do. Well, let's look at that. Esther chapter 1, verse 10. On the seventh day of the feast, when King Xerxes was in high spirits because of the wine, he told the seven eunuchs who attended him, M, B, H, B, A, Z, and C. I'll let you figure out how to pronounce them. To bring Queen Vashti to him with the royal crown on her head. He wanted the nobles and all the other men to gaze on her beauty, for she was a very beautiful woman. But when they conveyed the king's orders to Queen Vashti, she refused to come. This made the king furious, and he burned with anger. So Queen Vashti was commanded by her husband, the king, to come out and display her beauty before all the princes, before all the nobles, before all the military officers in their drunken brawl of a feast that had been going on for 180 days. After consulting with his counselors and his advisors, they decided that Queen Vashti had to be deposed from her position and had to be banished from the king's presence. Was Queen Vashti right by her actions? I would say yes. Because when what you are told to do by authorities comes into conflict with the highest authority and violates your conscience and violates your moral code, then it is better to obey God than to obey man. Just as the apostles Peter and John declared in Acts 4:19, who do you think God wants us to obey? But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? Can I just say, when government mandates violate God's law and human conscience and freedom, then come what may, we must obey God rather than man. In all other areas, we certainly should honor and support and obey the laws of the land as what the Bible tells us to do. But the life lesson we learn from Queen Vashti is this: stand by your convictions and honor God. That's what she did. young people and older people too. Don't give in to the world's way of thinking. Take a stand for what is right, what is moral, and what is true. How many of you know worldly wisdom always falls short of man's wisdom? Of divine wisdom. It's always less, always needful and needy compared to God's wisdom. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took a stand by their convictions, stood by their convictions. They honored Lord, and the Lord was with them in the fire. Daniel stood by his convictions and honored God, and the Lord shut the lion's mouths. However, back then and even today, there are people who have stood by their convictions and honored God, and the Lord allowed them to be taken to their eternal home. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 35 to 40 speak of that. Women received their loved ones back again from death, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prison. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. You see, today there are believers in Afghanistan and other places who stand by their faith and they honor God, and yet they have died here, but they went straight up there to the place that God prepared for them. So thank you, Queen Vashti, for standing for truth rather than for political correctness, standing up for righteousness. I have a feeling we're going to be placed in a lot of that same predicament in our world. Unless we see God move in a mighty way across this land, we are seeing the need that we're going to have to take a stand and say, no, that is not right. Amen. Amen. Sad to say. I miss the country that I grew up in the 60s and 70s. I know things weren't perfect then, but I believe God is still on the throne. Amen. So that's Queen Vashti, what we learned from her. Take a stand for your convictions and do what's right. Number two, did you realize that there is not one single person in the Bible whose name starts with a W? Not one. There is not anyone in the entire Bible whose name begins with W. I was shocked at that. I figured at least there's a William or a Wally or something. Waldo? Where's Waldo? He wasn't even there. I was amazed at that. I thought, surely there's a W in the Bible. I looked and looked, couldn't find one. So I started thinking about who could we talk about as far as titles that begin with. I thought about the wise men, Matthew chapter 2. You know, they traveled a long ways. They saw the star in the east. We're going to come worship him. That's a great lesson. We need to worship the Lord. I thought about the wise man who built his house upon the rock in the parable that Jesus told, and how we all need to lay our lives and build upon the truth on the foundation of the Word of God. I thought about the 10 wise, or the wise virgins. There was 5 foolish and 5 wise in the parable about keeping your oil full. I thought about the woman at the well in John chapter 4, how she encountered Jesus, her life was changed. She went back to her town and told everybody, I found the Messiah. I thought all those have been great. And I really was thinking about doing the last one until I'm sitting at my desk this week working on this message, and I thought of another one. I thought, no, I know what I'm going to do. Her story is found in 1 Kings 17. It's the widow of Zarephath. The widow of Zarephath. What a remarkable woman of faith She was. 1 Kings chapter 17. Begin reading at verse 1. Now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, "As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word." Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go to the east and hide by Kereth Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food." Isn't that something? God is in charge. He commands birds to bring food to Elijah right where he's at. So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside Kereth Brook east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening. You know, I wonder if they got paid, kind of like, you know, a Grubhub or something. That could be a good name of a delivery deal. Raven Food Service. Somebody could make some money doing that. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. But after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you." So the Lord finds this widow, sees this one, says, "Widow of Zarephath, we don't know your name. Probably starts with a W, but we don't know. I want you to feed a prophet by the name of Elijah that's going to come your way." Now, I added that to the scripture, so no, I didn't. That's guilt. That's grounds for being struck, you know. So we don't add to the scripture. Just some commentary. How about I just go on? So he went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, "Would you please bring me a little water in a cup?" As she was going to get it, he called to her, "Bring me a bite of bread too." But she said, "I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. And I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die." But Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first." That used to bug me until I understood what the Lord was doing. But anyway, that's something else. Why does he want to be first? No. "Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again." So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Wow! What a story! The first thought that comes to me after reading these verses is this: God knows how to take care of his own. God takes care of his own. And I believe both Elijah and the widow of Zarephath could make that a great life lesson. God takes care of his own. Amen? He fed Elijah by the ravens at the brook. He then fed Elijah by a poor godly widow that the Lord talked to. And then by an absolute miracle, day after day after day, the Lord continues to take care of the starving widow and her son, and the prophet, when she was obedient and put God first. See, the Lord was testing this widow if he was going to do what she says. When the prophet said, "Make me some bread first," he was saying, "Are you going to put God first in your life and do what I tell you? And if you do, I will take care of you." How many of you know that's still true today? If we put God first, he will always take care of us, no matter what kind of situation we find ourselves in. It took great faith to do what she was. I mean, she was down to nothing. There was just a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil. She got a few sticks. We're going to put these, we're going to make some bread, and then we're going to die. She didn't know how it was going to pan out. We're living thousands of years later, and we see by the biblical record what happened. This lady did not know what was going to happen. She only knew the prophet said, make me some bread first. Make me some Lambert's rolls first. And I would have said, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. How many of you have ever had a Lambert roll? Oh, man, if you haven't, you're missing them. She didn't know how it was going to turn out. We do. But here's the deal. She obeyed. She put the word of the Lord first, and God took care of her and her son and the prophet. Little is much when God is in it. Say that with me. Little is much when God is in it. Hallelujah. Later, Elijah raised her young son from the dead. If you read on down, we didn't read that, but later her son died. And she called out to the prophet, and the prophet raised her son from the dead. One miracle beget another miracle. As she put God first, she saw God continue to do things in her life. And God does the same thing today. God takes care of his own, but you must put him first. Matthew 6:33 still applies today. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, shall be taken care of. Hallelujah. Put God first. He takes care of his own. Amen. Do you believe that? You practice that? Amen. You do what God says and say, God, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know how I'm going to pay my tithe. I don't think I'm going to have enough money to pay the electric bill, but I'm going to pay my tithe first and believe you for the electric bill. You see, it gets right down to where we live. You can never outgive God. He always takes care of his own. Number three, X. There's only one X name in the Bible. His name, we've already referred to him a little bit by Queen Vashti's story. It's Xerxes. Xerxes. Go back to Esther, where we were earlier. Esther chapter 4, or excuse me, chapter 1. He also had another name. His other name was Ahasuerus. This man ruled 127 provinces stretching from India to Ethiopia. John Gifford did Ethiopia. From India to Ethiopia, he had a massive, massive kingdom that he ruled over, but he couldn't rule over his own spirit. Esther chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. These events happened in the days of King Xerxes, who reigned over 127 provinces stretching from India to Ethiopia. At that time, Xerxes ruled his empire from his royal throne at the fortress of Susa. In the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his nobles and officials. He invited all the military officers of Persia and Media, as well as the princes and the nobles of the provinces. This celebration lasted 180 days, 6 months. A tremendous display of the opulent wealth of his empire and the pomp and splendor of his majesty. And then, as we read earlier, concerning Queen Vashti, he ordered her to violate her conscience. And when she refused, it says in verse 10 that he burned with anger. On the seventh day of the feast, when King Xerxes was in high spirits because of the wine, he told the seven eunuchs, and we read that in their names, and he ordered her out. He burned with anger, it says in verse 12. Why did he do this? Besides being an undisciplined king, I think verse 10 gives us the clue. On the seventh day of the feast, when King Xerxes was in high spirits because of the wine. Alcohol can cause you to do terrible things. things that bring great harm and abuse to yourself, to your family, and even to innocent people left in the wake of your terrible choice. I had a friend that I went to school with from sixth grade on. We graduated together in 1979. And Mark went off to Oklahoma State University. And one day he was partying there and they were drunk. He got on a motorcycle. Another young lady who was at the party got on the back of that motorcycle with him, and he took off across the parking lot there in Stillwater, and he hit a parking stop going very fast on that motorcycle. Flipped the motorcycle up in the air. Mark landed on his back and his neck. He was paralyzed from the waist down, and the girl was killed and died. Alcohol caused that. Alcohol, I think, was part of the reason that Xerxes was being the terrible person that he was and having Vashti do these things she shouldn't do and making these terrible decisions. It's my conviction that as believers, we should not even touch alcohol. Some try to justify it a little here. It's okay here and there, and we could have this big debate about it, but remember the statement that I made last Sunday. In the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, the people, after hearing Peter's sermon, said, "What must we do to be saved?" But today there are those asking in the body of Christ, "What can I do and still be saved?" They're trying to live right on the edge. We talked about that last Sunday. Trying to live on the edge. Trying to justify what they really know they should stay away from. Proverbs chapter 23 talks about alcohol. And there are other places, but I want to read this one in particular. I read it every month on the 23rd day of each month as we read through the Proverbs every single month. Proverbs 23, 29, who has anguish? Who has sorrow? Who is always fighting? Who is always complaining? Who has unnecessary bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? It is the one who spends long hours in the taverns trying out new drinks. Don't gaze at the wine, seeing how red it is, how it sparkles in the cup, how smoothly it goes down. For in the end, it bites like a poisonous snake. It stings like a viper. You will see hallucinations, and you will say crazy things. You will stagger like a sailor tossed at sea, clinging to a swaying mast. And you will say, "They hit me, but I didn't feel it. I didn't even know it when they beat me up. When will I wake up so I can find another drink?" You see, we have medicines today that, yes, some may contain a bit of alcohol. So taking your NyQuil is okay, as taken as prescribed. I don't have a problem with that. But they didn't have that in Bible days. And a lot of things that we have today in the form of medicines contained alcohol more so. And so it's just better to stay away from it. King Xerxes' life lesson would be stay away from strong drink. I think the strongest drink a Christian ought to drink is a Coke, a Dr. Pepper, or coffee. You don't have to have a little bit of wine or a little bit of beer here. You're just opening yourself up for trouble. And you might be one that gets addicted to that. Cause all kinds of heartbreak to your family and to your kids and lose your job and all this kind of stuff. Kill somebody. Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, wine produces mockers, alcohol leads to brawls. Those led astray by drink cannot be wise. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15, he says this. He said, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everyone to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is far better to seek the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, rather than the spirits. Amen? Don't try to live on the edge. You may just go over the cliff. Stay away from strong drink, King Xerxes. Now we come to Z. Number four, Z, Zebedee. Now there are two other names we could look at. We could look at Zechariah, who was the father of who? Come on, Bible quizzers. Whose son is Zechariah's son? John the Baptist. That's right. We could talk about him, but we're not. We could talk about another Z by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a short little guy, climbed up a sycamore tree. He was a tax collector because he wanted to see Jesus, to name a couple. However, I'd like to give a few minutes to a man that seemed to do it right in the scripture. I don't think I've ever in my entire life ever mentioned this man in a sermon except maybe just reading verses that have his name in it. I don't think I've ever said anything in my entire ministry about this man, but his story is found in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 16. I'm talking about the man Zebedee. Zebedee. Mark chapter 1, verse 16 says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fish for a living. Jesus called out to them, come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. He called them at once and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. Zebedee. And if you look at some other scriptures, Mark 15, 40 and Matthew 27, 56, you will see that Zebedee's wife was Salome, who was a close follower of Jesus. She, of course, was the mother of James and John. And so here you have this father who's got two great sons, James and John. Both of them become apostles. They may have other children too. It just particularly names James and John. You have a wife named Salome who's very God-fearing. She closely followed Jesus. She was there at the tomb and went with Mary and the other Mary. And so he has a great fishing business. Apparently it's not just a little father-son operation. He's got several hired men that work for him. So he has a great fishing business there on the Sea of Galilee. He's got two sons that are going into the ministry. He's got a great wife. It seems like he's doing it right. His sons were nicknamed Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. So I think this man, Zebedee, deserves some credit. Doesn't say a lot about him, but I think he deserves some credit. I think Zebedee did some things right as a father and a husband, as a businessman, as a man. Tonight we're going to see the new movie by Kendrick's brothers, Show Me the Father. I think Zebedee would have been a great guest on that movie and a great life to see as an example of faith and family. I think Zebedee would be there. Life lesson from Zebedee. Dads, be the spiritual leader of your home. Be the spiritual leader of your home. Don't leave it to the wife to all the spiritual stuff. Some dads are just too cool, too macho to do any of the spiritual. That's to the wife. That's the spiritual stuff. Baloney, baloney, and baloney. Men, it's time to rise up and be the spiritual leader God's called us to be. Are we ashamed of Jesus or are we not? Let's not be ashamed. Let's lead by example. Let's lead with grace and love. Let's lead the way to church. Don't be the one that the wife said, honey, you going to go to church with us and the family today? Say, yes, we're going. Everybody get in the car right now. You don't have to say it like that, but you can say, let's go. Don't be the one, oh, drag me away from the television. I wanted to watch Andy and Barney. Lead with determination by God's help and lead to leave a godly example. One day, Dad, when you're dead, how are they going to remember you? As a little mamby-pamby Christian or a true man of God? I don't want to be a mamby-pamby. When my kids and grandkids look back at me at Steve, I want them to remember that Dad loved God, Dad served God, Dad went to church all the time, Dad did the things that a dad should do. Amen? It's time for dads to step up. The world needs it. The church needs it. Your family needs it. Be a Zebedee. Be a Zebedee with a zeal for God. Some men can be all in tune with what's going on in the world and in their sports and at the top of their job and they're a leader in various things in the community and with the athletics. But when it comes to church, they just sit and do nothing if they get there at all. That's not right. Be just as on fire for the things of God as you are for the things in the world. We shouldn't have to drag you out of bed and barely get here with your family to church. Be the one up first. You think, have I made my point clear? Good. I don't want you to forget. I mean, why is it in a lot of our churches, it's full of, and this is no disrespect to women, but you got a lot of churches that's full of the women and the men aren't there. Why? What's the problem? Come on, guys. Be a Zebedee with zeal for God. Be just as zealous for God as you are for other things. V, W, X. Oh, I skipped Y. Why did I skip Y? Some of you are thinking, he skipped that. He's looked over. He misread his notes. He skipped right over that Y. No, I didn't. You know me better than that. I skipped Y because I wanted Y to be last, because that life lesson is representing you. You. Did you guess it, Elliot? Oh, I thought you said you did. Oh, y'all did. Oh, yeah. You. I've got, of the 26 people we've talked about, 19 men, 6 women, and 1 you. 1961 was a good year. That just came to me later. I thought, well, how many men did I get? 19. 6 ladies and 1. 1 could be both, because you is men or women. 1961. I like that. I can remember that. Good people were born in 61. You. Yeah, you. What life lesson are you teaching? We've talked about everyone from A to Z, but what about you? How do you want to be remembered? Your name may not be in this book in the Bible in particular, like the last 26 and many, 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 many others we could have talked about. But trust me, your name's written down in heaven. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. They will be my people, says the Lord of heaven's armies. On the day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. There's a book of remembrance being written. You're in that book. And certainly, if you're a believer, your name is in the what book? The book of life. The book of life, Revelation 20:15 says, and anyone whose name was not found in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So your name may not be specifically written in here, but it's written up there. God knows what we do and what we don't do, and there is a book of remembrance being written. The book of Acts ended at chapter 28, but it didn't sign off because it's still going on. We're still in the age of the book of Acts. We're still in the church age. I believe in heaven there's probably some book of Acts that's been written now for the last 2,000 years. So in conclusion, the musicians come. In conclusion, we've looked at 26 names from the Bible. We've looked at 26 life lessons, some good, some not so good. One day, you and I, should the Lord tarry, will be long dead. But our life will still speak. We'll be long dead, but our life will still speak. Just as the people that we have talked about over the last 6 weeks. I trust we can all be grateful for the mercy and the grace of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, that we can leave good life lessons behind. And trust me, we cannot do that without the help and the grace and the strength and the mercy of God Almighty. It's all because of Him. Any good you and I do is because of God. In and of ourselves, we do deserve nothing but the penalty of our sin. But because of God's grace and God's work in our life, because of the Holy Spirit helping us, we can leave good life lessons. Lord, I thank you today for every person here. You know where each one is spiritually. You know what's happening in all of our lives, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know where we are. And Lord, I just pray that each one of us here today would do the most important thing, and that is to continue to come to you and say, God, I need you every day. I need you, Lord. I need your forgiveness. I need your help. I need your strength, Lord. I need your grace and your mercy to be able to do everything that I do. Lord, I walk in repentance and I walk in humility because I know at times I fail to be all I should be. And I know there are people that are watching my life. I know there are family and children and grandchildren and relatives and neighbors and coworkers and kids I go to school with that are looking at me. And Lord God, I want to leave a good witness for you. I want my life to preach a good message. Forgive me, Lord, where I fail. Cleanse me, Lord, of all unrighteousness. I need more of you. And if someone's here today that you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I talked about that book a moment ago, the book of life. There's not a maybe or I hope so about the book of life. Either your name is there already or it is not. That's not negotiable. And Lord, I thank you that that name is put in the book of life when we come to you and we are saved and the Holy Spirit comes in and we are cleansed of our sin. The day that we are saved, the day that we are born again, the day that we become a child of God is the day you write our name in the book of life. So, Father, I pray if there's anyone here today or watching over the live stream that does not know for sure that their name is in the book of life, Lord God, right now, touch them, speak to them, and say, is the pastor talking to you? Is the pastor talking to me? Do I know that my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because if it isn't, then I am still lost in my sin. If it isn't, I won't be going to heaven. I'll be going to hell. If it isn't, I will suffer great, great, great loss forever and ever and ever. So our heads are bowed and eyes are closed right now. Is there anyone here today? Say, Pastor Steve, that's me. I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if my name's in that book. But I want to know that today. I choose today to follow Jesus. I choose to put my faith in Him. I choose to trust Him right now as my Savior. And I'm not ashamed to raise my hand and say, pray for me. I want to do that. Is there anyone here today? You'd say, Pastor, I'm not right with the Lord. Pastor, I don't know. Thank you. I see that hand. Pastor, I don't know for sure that my name's in the book. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? You don't know for sure. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I'd like for us all to stand for a moment, and I would like to invite this one or others that would come right now. Pastor Phil, would you join me down here? I'd like to invite you to come right now and let us pray with you. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but maybe you said, I should have raised my hand. Now's your moment. Now's your moment. Be strong. Be not ashamed and say, I come to accept Christ today. I come to give my heart to Him. Christians praying right now. The devil's working because he don't want anybody to come forward, but the Holy Spirit is working, says, yes, yes, I'm choosing to come to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to wait just a moment. Going to wait just a moment. There was at least one hand, maybe two or three. Hallelujah. Father God, right now, let that one come and say, I give my heart to you. I give my heart to you. I want to make sure. I want to make sure that Jesus is in my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would everyone just do this with me right now? Would you pray with me? Say, dear Jesus, come into my heart. I know I've prayed this before. I want to pray it again. Wash me. Make me clean. Cleanse me of my sin. Put my name in the book. The most important book of all. Right now, I confess you as my Lord and my Savior in Jesus' name. And just give the Lord thanksgiving. Lift your hands, Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this one to come today. Lord, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Put her name in the book right now, Lord. Oh, Lord, as she cries out to you, put her name in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, Father God, do your work in her. Christians, pray for this young lady right now. Stretch your hands toward her. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You're our Savior. You're our healer. Oh, God, our hope is in you, Lord, today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the new work being done right now. For the new work being done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, there are others out here today. I pray that you would just help them, Lord, to come to you, to know you, to be assured in their heart that they love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sing this with me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for making me whole. Thank you being to me so great is salvation, so rich and so free. One more time, oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Seated for just a moment. Our ushers are going to come that are going to serve communion. We want to do that together today. I think it's good to do it on our own occasionally at the altar, but I think it's also good to do it as a group. So when you get your element, the grape juice and the little wafer of bread, just hold on to it. And we're going to, when everybody gets served, we're going to do that together as we choose to remember what Jesus did for us. Are you thankful for Jesus today? Are you thankful that Jesus saved you by his blood? Put your name in the book. Let me see your hand if your name's in the book. All right, man. Well, praise God. Yeah, hallelujah. Hey, I want to tell you something. One day that's all that's going to matter. One day that's all that's going to matter. It's going to matter how much money you made, what position you held, where you lived, what kind of car you drove, or how short or tall you were. One day, the only thing that's going to matter in life is was your name in the book. You could have 5 Super Bowl rings or 7 Super Bowl rings like Tom Brady. But I tell you what, if Tom Brady's name is in the book, he's coming up a loser. I don't want to be a loser. I want to be a winner. Got any winners here today? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. We're going to sing. I got carried away. Go ahead and sing, and then we'll come back. Praise God. Time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this and share it among you. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. Hold up the bread. Lord, as we hold up this symbol of your body, we're thankful, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you were beaten and you were whipped and you were pierced with nails and a sword. You were spit on. Your beard was plucked. You were beat. You carried a cross through the streets of Jerusalem on the Via Dolorosa, on the road to Golgotha. You did all that for us and for whosoever would believe and call upon you. So we receive this bread today in remembrance, Jesus, of what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, in agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." Lord, as we hold up this cup, we're reminded that this cup represents your blood that was shed on the way to the cross and on the cross, where your blood was poured out as the perfect penalty, or the perfect sacrifice for the penalty of sin. Lord, you redeemed us by your blood. You redeemed people from every tribe, language, people group, from all over this world. You have redeemed people by this blood that you shed. So we receive this cup in remembrance and in thanksgiving of what you have done on our behalf. In Jesus' name, amen. Rolled away, it was there by faith. I received my sight, and now all the day. Stand and sing that again. Oh, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy. Praise God. Brother Ronnie Boz, would you dismiss us in prayer?